Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we're in Deuteronomy chapter 25. And what a power-packed chapter 25 is. Now, we're still dealing with protecting the dignity and rights of people who cannot protect their own dignity. But in verses 1 through 3, we're taken straight to the courtroom where Jesus is being tried on the night he was betrayed and the eve of his crucifixion. Verse 1 starts off by telling us how a trial ought to be run so it doesn't become a Mickey Mouse affair like Jesus experienced. Verse 1 says, when people have a dispute, they're to take it to court and the judges will decide the case, acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty. If the guilty person deserves to be beaten, the judge shall make them lie down and have them flogged in the presence with the number of lashes the crime deserves. But the judge must not impose more than 40 lashes. If the guilty party is flogged more than that, your fellow Israelite will be disregarded in your own eyes. In other words, there was a limit to what was decent. However, the Romans had incorporated the cat of nine tails, and the Pharisees knew that Jesus was going to go through, was past the line of decency. When that metal and bone caught in Jesus' skin like fish hooks, it ripped his skin open. The flogging originally was meant to sting and teach a lesson, but not be something that permanently disfigured you, and as verse 3 says, degrades him in your own eyes. That permanent disfigurement was forbidden, but Jesus endured it for me and you. And he did it because he loved you. He took all the pain and disgrace that sin had to offer, because at that time, he was bearing our shame. Isaiah 53, 4 through 5 says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his stripes we were healed. Moving on to verse 4, Moses gives an instruction about oxes and the treatment of animals. He says, do not muzzle the ox while it treads the grain. That means a beast of burden who was walking in a circle tethered to a wooden pole that was turning on a millstone to grind up grain could be muzzled so that he couldn't eat any of it as he was working. It's kind of like gas in your tank. You want to keep your car going, well, put gas in it. But it was also cruel to make an ox work around all that food and not be allowed to eat it after working up a hearty appetite. So Moses steps in and says, hey, selfish people, if you won't look after your animal because it's the decent thing to do, guess what? God's going to make a rule for it. It's the spirit of the law that counts after all, not the rule. And Moses is hoping you'll realize these things when the Spirit of God comes into you. But that doesn't always happen. You see, the Spirit tells us God's heart so that we don't need a little rule for every tiny thing we do. We're often as selfish after the Spirit of God comes into our lives, and we have to be told things in a completely new way. But often the Spirit will prompt our heart. In Timothy, Paul quotes this very verse when saying that ministers of the gospel should also be paid for what they do. It's as cruel to muzzle an ox or a minister while he's working if you don't pay him. You hear that through the word? Pay me! No, just joking. But Through the Word does not muzzle the ox. They actually pay us to do this, but we enjoy it. And so is ministry meant to be the funnest, most fulfilling thing that you should ever do. But common sense, Paul says, hey guys, Timothy has to pay his bills. And Paul goes on to say in that passage in Timothy, is it only oxen that God cares about? No, it's a principle of fairness that ought to characterize our lives now that the Spirit of God lives inside of us. The next section reads, verse 5, if brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. However, if a man does not want to marry his brother's wife, she shall go to the elders of the town gate and say, my husband's brother refuses to carry on his brother's name in Israel. He will not fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to me. Then the elders of his town shall summon him and talk to him. If he persists in saying, I do not want to marry her, his brother's widow shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, take off one of his sandals, spit in his face, and say, this is what is done to the man who will not build up his brother's family line. That man's line shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled, sandaled. Man, you don't want to be walking away from this event limping with one sandal, spit dripping off your face, and your walk betraying that you were a man with no honor. And that's what this was about. You had a family duty to protect your brother's name, and you failed to uphold his dignity and the dignity of his wife and kids. Now, this was important because to a Jew, you were looking to the seed or the offspring that was promised back in the garden who would produce the Messiah. Now, this was a blessing that God had promised at this point in history when Moses was speaking. Nobody knew which family or tribe that seed was going to come through. So carrying on your family line was seen as a globally important thing to happen. And just in case you ever find yourself in this kind of situation, now you know what to do. Now, we'll just skip verses 11 and 12, and I'm running away from those two verses as fast as I can. You're on your own. Okay, verse 13, let's pick it up. Has to do with honor again in the area of weights and measurements. You see, back then, when you traded with someone, you would reach into your bag and weigh it out. Well, the problem was the weights could be hollowed out, and instead of being metal, could be coated with metal to give a false reading. Therefore, God says, do not use dishonest weights. They were like a standard, like a ruler that was off. So, for example, if you're buying, you would use a lighter weight so that you could get more but pay less. And when you were selling, you would use your heavier weight. Moses is saying here, hey, knock it off. Use accurate weights because God detests dishonesty. In Jordan Peterson's best-selling book, The 12 Rules for Life, he gives telling the truth, regardless of the consequences, the highest priority of all the rules, stating, if you can't tell the truth, then nothing has meaning anymore. It may seem like a very small point, but to God it was a big deal. We live in a world of concretes with absolutes and truths, and when we start to take the instruments that define that truth and falsify them, it's one of the worst evils. You see, there are people out there who make a living off of deceiving others, and Moses says, don't be any part of that. Lastly, when the Amalekites are brought up at the end of the chapter, we're told that when they battled the Israelites and beat them, they showed no mercy. Therefore, God says, hey, when you fight them, show no mercy. And that might seem strange to you, but keep in mind that these were a people who were going to keep rising up and trying to destroy Israel until one of the two of them was destroyed. And God basically said to the Israelites, hey, if I got to pick between you and them, I pick you, Pikachu. Read Deuteronomy chapter 25 today, and as you do, marvel at how many times this one little chapter shows up in the New Testament.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.